Always love that old song. I was planning to do something different this morning, been impressed to change it. So I ask you to look in the book of James to begin with tonight, or this morning. We're thinking about our Vacation Bible School's theme, and it talks about farming and planting and reaping, sowing and reaping. You know, that's the whole idea of a farm. You put in the proper seed, and then your effort and your preparations, and then you wait, because you're not in control of the rain nor the sunshine. But that's what makes it work, isn't it? We do our part, and then God has to do the other part. It says in this verse in James chapter number 5, it's kind of in the midst of everything, but it says verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain." So the farmer, the husbandman, whether it's he's guarding a vineyard, which is the idea of a husbandman, or a farm like we think of, he has to plant and he has to prepare, but he has to wait. It takes God's work in our lives. And our Lord Jesus gave us illustration in the Gospels of this same principle spiritually. And I'd like us to look at that this morning with the idea from the book of James, a matter of patience and waiting on it. You know, it's always too soon to quit. We often get discouraged. It says in another place that we shall reap in due season if you faint not. Sometimes, because things don't go the way we want them to go, when we want them to go, we think everything's failed. That's not so. God is in control. And as one fellow said one time, it takes a few months to grow a squash, but it takes years to make an oak tree. God knows what he's doing. And the things he's doing in our lives, some takes longer than others. And the things he's doing in the lives of others. But there are some similarities found in Matthew chapter 13. You probably recall this passage as the Lord talks unto us about the seed and the sower. And I'm going to read from chapter 13 of Matthew, beginning in verse 1. "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." By the way, how would you like it when you guys had to stand and I sit down? That'd be a little different, wouldn't it? But he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 10, he gives us a reason for speaking in parables. "The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, I read that parable. Usually we skip the middle part, but I thought it was instructive for us this morning, because the whole reason he's given the lesson in a parable, he says some people aren't ready to hear it yet. And did you notice, as I read through those verses, it talks about their hard hearts and their ears were dull of hearing and they had their eyes closed. Have you met folks like that? I have. They don't want to know. They may, with their mouth, ask you why, but I remember years ago I had a conversation with a lady I worked beside, and she wanted to know what I thought about a certain thing, and I told her, you don't want to know. And, of course, she wouldn't be satisfied with that, so she kept pressing, so I told her. And she got mad, because I knew she wasn't wanting to hear what I was going to say about that topic. It wasn't anything big or terrible, but it's just some people are ready and some people aren't. Well, the difference is what? It's the hearts. Let's look at the parable again. He said, the sower went forth to sow. In another place, he says, the sower is the Son of Man. The Lord is working in this world. The Lord is given the gospel to the whole world. He's given us the Bible. He's given us command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But you see, not just hearing it with your ears or reading it with your eyes is not the point. Do you receive it? Do you understand it? And the first one, he explains by the wayside. The wayside was that part of the field that you walked on. We would call it probably a sidewalk, although it wasn't paved. It was walked upon over and over and over till it became hardened like our clay around here. And so things wouldn't easily grow in it. So that seed fell on it, and it kind of laid on the top. And what happened immediately after that? He said they understood it not. But then the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. Why? He says it's the wicked one that does that, the devil. He doesn't want the word of God to stick around anywhere, even though it seems like nobody's listening. And I always like to use this illustration because it so impressed me years ago when we were parking our school buses down here at the old Rayon. Some of you know that place, and it's at one time, they tell me it was the largest factory under one roof in the world, which it was an amazing statement, but that was way back in the 30s. But the back part there where we used it had been long ago not used for factory work anymore, but we had a huge parking lot there. At one time in the 70s, I've been told, it was nice and new, and probably hundreds of people parked there. But by the time we were there, it had been left and neglected. And you know what happened. There was stuff growing in it. Now, that was asphalt before. I mean, that's like the road out there. What happened? Seeds fell, and they stayed until they started growing. And it's amazing the power God's put in that little thing called a seed. I've seen them grow in the gutters on people's houses. And if you don't get them out of there soon enough, they could cause great damage. The power to break up that hard asphalt. And there, over time, were even some trees growing up through there. Well, just because the seed had remained. And it had found some way to get down in there and break through that hardened top part and get moisture and get nourishment enough to grow. The lesson that I'm trying to illustrate here is the seed is the word of God, and the word of God is powerful. It is so powerful the devil wants to pull it out lest it do anything good on that hard ground. It might do something later if it's left, you see. He's trying to make so people don't have opportunity to hear it over and over again. In fact, the scripture says it this way in Hebrews, for the word of God is quick, which means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder his soul and spirit, and dividing and of the thoughts, bone and marrow, and the thoughts and intents of the heart. I didn't quote that perfectly, but it's in Hebrews 4. The idea of the Bible, the word of God, gets down deep. It'll convict hearts when it's given. Now, sometimes it takes a while. And as I said earlier in the introduction to this, the difference is the hearts. That same old sun that melts the ice hardens the clay. It's the difference how it's received. So the word of God has not lost its power because some do not want it at that time. But you never know what might come later. You never know those seeds planted early and they come back. And I'm always encouraged by that other scripture in the Old Testament says that God said, my word will not return unto me void. That means empty. But will accomplish that which I've sent it out to do. God has a plan and he'll use it. What is our part in the plan? Like the farmer's part in the sowing of the crops. He goes out there and he works the field and he puts the seed in. He may throw a little fertilizer in amongst it. And then he waits. He can't make it rain. He can't make the sunshine, but he waits patiently for God to do what God's going to do. Spiritually, what are we to do? Go and preach the gospel to all the world. Go and tell people what the Lord's done for us. Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. In other words, tell people what the Lord's done for you. Tell them, there was a time in my life before I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have a goal. I didn't understand. And the Lord worked in my heart and life, and I understood that I was a sinner. Christ died for sinners, and I asked him to save me. You know, the world has a false idea of what a sinner is, by the way. I was talking to someone a while back, and they kind of rustled when I used that term. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm not saying you're Hitler or Mussolini or some mass murderer. The Bible says sin is anything less than perfect. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So all of us can admit, I'm not perfect. See, to be without sin is to be as good as God. None of us are that. But Christ came and died on Calvary for us, that he might prepare a place for us in heaven. He paid the price we could not pay, because the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, that was the satisfying sacrifice. He's the propitiation. That big word means satisfying payment. So that seed is as powerful on the wayside or in any other place because it's the same seed. Sometimes I hear people say, well, we've got to change our message because people are different today. Well, no, people are not different. They're still sinners. The outward appearance may be different. Times are a-changing. You know, we got different styles and different allurements, different distractions. But we all have the same problem. This one where it talks about the one it fell upon the thin, where there was not much root, had no deepness of earth. The sun was up and they were scorched because they had no root. You've met people like that. They don't have the determination. They're not strong enough to go forward. It says, had no root in himself in verse 21. But dureth but for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. I've met folks like that. They'll get excited about trusting the Lord, and then pretty soon they get real quiet. Somebody said something to them. Somebody offended them. I'm going to tell you a scripture. I remember Dr. Lackey speaking this in high school chapel 40 years ago at Highland Park and Tennessee Temple. I was interpreting for Sherry Graham at the time. She's now Sherry Adams, married to a friend of mine that's deaf. But anyway, they're both deaf. And I was interpreting the message that morning, and he preached on this one verse in Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And he made this statement, if you're offended, it's your fault. Because you don't love God's word enough. Say, boy, that seems a little harsh. I mean, people do dumb things and mean things. That's not the point. The point is, what do you expect? The Bible says we're a bunch of sinners. You know, why do you expect people to be better than they are? We should understand that. Being offended, I think that means more than just being hurt. Because a lot of people can hurt you. In fact, when you love people, you're opening yourself up to hurt. When you love your family and they get sick, it hurts. When you love people in your neighborhood trying to help them and they turn away, it hurts. But that's not what I'm talking about offended. I'm talking about giving up. Say, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to turn my back on the thing I started. That's because they didn't have that root in themselves. And part of the getting that strength to persevere is to get the word of God in your heart. And understanding in your mind to change the way you look at things. It says that we be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you start getting God's perspective on life from the scriptures, you understand things a little different than the world presents them. You understand the reason we oppose sin is not because we hate people. Because we hate sin because it hurts people. We oppose the illicit drugs and all this stuff and the abuse of legal drugs and all those things because it destroys people's lives. We oppose other things that the Bible condemns because we know from Scripture sin destroys. It's not our choice. It's not our political problem. It's a personal relationship with the God of the universe who made us. And he said, this is the way, walk ye in it. Because he also said, the way of the transgressor is hard. Transgressor means the guy who breaks the rules, crosses over the line. It's a hard way. So that's why we say these things and do them. And so some don't continue on because they don't have the strength within themselves. But then other fell into the thorny ground. Did you listen to that in verse 22? He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You see, you can let everything that's going around you distract you from the main goal. It's hard for our culture to receive this truth, but the real reason we're here is to get to know God and do his will in this world. You say, well, I got to take care of my family. That's part of it. I got to work. That's part of it. I got to pay my taxes. Unfortunately, that's part of it. Those things all fit into the problem, but those aren't the goals. Those are just steps along the way. We're going to go somewhere forever. That's what the Bible says, and that's what I believe. We're going to live forever with God or without him. And we need to be preparing ourselves along the way and helping others along the way. That's the thing we ought to be focused on. But it's so easy to get bypassed by the cares of this world. You know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of concern today for safety because of all the terror that's being spread abroad by hatred, not only in the Middle East, but even here in this nation. People taking up guns and shooting police just because they feel somebody did something wrong along the way, maybe to them, maybe to others. I'm sure their wrongs have been done, but two wrongs don't make a right. It just multiplies things. You're always trying to get even with people, an eye for an eye, and pretty soon everybody's blind, and they're walking around in the darkness. You know, we need to turn this thing around. It says the cares of this world, worried about, and then the deceitfulness of riches. I think about that when we talk about, well, I'm not rich. Compare yourself to the rest of the world. We're pretty well off in this country, aren't we? Even the least affluent of us sitting here this morning has got more than most of the world has. In comforts and in finances for sure. In opportunity. Think about those people that are living in huts and stuff we would consider unsanitary, but that's what they know. And they accept it to a point till they are exposed to television and see how other people live and say, wait, why don't we have that? And there's probably a lot of answers to that question. But the point is, we can get so worried about our standard of living, our riches. How am I going to take care of this? They'll deceive you. Surely it takes wings, like it says, the riches, they sprout wings and fly away, you know, like the illustration of the cartoon when he opens up his wallet and the little dollar bill starts flying out, you know. That's the way it seems, doesn't it? It doesn't take long. It says those things distract this person and he becometh unfruitful. See, the word of God did not become unfruitful, but the person who received it did because he lost his focus. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground. You see, what's the good ground? The one that was ready. The one who was anxious to receive it. Or Jesus said several times through the Gospels, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Are you willing? Are you desirous to know the truth? Do you ask God, Lord, if it's true, show me. I believe he'll answer that to everybody that asks, sincerely. Some people don't want to know. They've already made up their mind. Don't confuse me with the facts. And there's all kinds of that going on today, both politically and in a whole lot of other ways. People have already made up their mind. They're going to do it no matter what. But that's a wrong attitude. We ought to look at it. God wants to do a miracle in our lives. when we receive him and his word into our hearts. He wants to give us a new life in Christ. Not only that it goes to heaven, but also that it lives differently down here. We've illustrated in our years different ways. There's a little song we used to sing when I was younger. There's been a great change since I've been born again. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. You see, the Word of God dwells in us and changes our understanding of what's going on and changes our choices because we want to please him, not merely the flesh or somebody else. Because those things will lead to destruction. But in the midst of all that, there's always people that don't want to hear it. You say, well, God is being thwarted. No, he knows all that. It says here, it fulfills the prophecy, verse 14 of Esaias, which is a New Testament word from the Greek that illustrates Isaiah in the Old Testament. That word, it says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. You see, he understands their situation. There needs to be a change. The Bible calls that change that needs to happen in the lives of those who have not yet turned to him is repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Jesus said. He was illustrating the events of a tower that fell in the time of his earthly ministry. And he gave that illustration. Suppose ye these that were killed there by that tower were sinners worse than all the others. Said, no, no, no. Except ye repent, ye shall also perish. In other words, we need to turn from the wrong unto the right. We need to turn from trusting ourselves to trusting him. We need to turn from our wisdom to reading and accepting God's truth. We need to stop looking around at what other people think in public opinion or consensus or whatever and say, this is God's revealed will. This is what I'm going to do. If it's right, it's always been right. And if it's wrong, it's always been wrong. And that's not based on my opinion. That's not based on a poll. It's not based on a vote. It's based on what God has said. You see, the problem with our world is so often they ask questions that will not be answered. Well, if God loved everybody, why does he allow this and that and the other? I don't know. But the question is not, does he love it? He tells us God so loved the world. He says, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Those are the things. The question is not, what can he do? The question is, what has he said he will do? Why waste our time? Well, if he was God, he could make a rock so heavy he couldn't lift it. That's a self-contradicting thing. Those don't come through truthfully. If we really understand what's going on, God can change us and we can turn from ourselves because we realize I don't have the answers. I'm not smart enough. I'm not powerful enough. I'm not consistent enough. You know, like one person said, and I've often quoted this, they said, you know, what do you believe? And all these different said, I said, where three or four Baptists are gathered together, there's four or five opinions. You know, we go back and forth, arguing about things, trying to understand more perfectly. I always tell people, I don't always agree with myself. Sometimes you look at things one way one day and the next day another. But when I get my thoughts and understandings in line with Scripture, then I don't have to change, do I? Sometimes we don't understand it all. We have to ask the Lord for help. But there are some things that are so simple that we do understand. Then it's up to us to receive them by faith. The very simple message of this sermon this morning is that God wants to plant the seed of the Word of God in our hearts and it bring forth fruit. It says if you have good soil, then it comes for some 60, 40, some 60, some 100 fold, or excuse me, some 100 fold, some 60 fold, some 30 fold. Anyway, it multiplies. You that are farmers or like me that like to eat corn, you look at an ear of corn, you know, freshly boiled with lots of butter and salt on it, you know, and you think, boy, that's really good. That came from one little kernel, one little seed. And you plant one of those and it grows up into stalk. You might get two, maybe three ears. And then you count out how many there are. There are thousands. What a multitude of increase that is. And even a tomato plant, you plant those seeds, one grows up, and you get several. There's a multitude when it's fruitful. It brings forth much more. That's what we want on the good, isn't it? But there's a danger because the Bible says in another scripture in Galatians, whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So when you do that which is right and good, it brings forth more good. When you do that which is wrong and evil, it brings forth more. And that's what I think we're seeing today in our world, isn't it? Some people have planted evil, whether it's a matter of false ideologies or hatred or vengeance, whatever. And it just seems like it's spreading. Well, we need to counteract that. And what is the Bible way? Overcome evil with good. Let the love of Christ go through your heart and life and manifest to others. It's not easy, but that's what we're supposed to do. We're to be fruitful. And the goal is to bring forth others as the Lord has brought us. One of the foundational truths the Lord has emphasized in my experience, and I believe all through the Bible, is that God is God and we're not. Therefore, we have to ask him what he wants us to do and just say, yes, sir, as it were. Yes, I want to do it. Isaiah is probably the best illustration. I remember when I was in my teens, sitting in the pew, and the preacher was preaching Isaiah chapter 6. And you see Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up, and the heavenly creature says, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, and all that. And Isaiah says, woe is me, and all this. But in the midst of all that, the Lord asks this question, who will go for us, and whom shall we send? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And that's the thing the Lord used to call me into desiring to go forth and follow him, which ended up eventually in this ministry. But here am I, send me. I mean, God's looking for volunteers in that sense. He will equip you and he will empower you, but are you willing to go? Sometimes we think that he's looking for those who are prepared. No, he prepares those who are willing to go. He prepares us by the word of God and power. And sometimes it goes beyond human comprehension. You know, he uses people that you would think would never be smart enough or able enough. It's not in me. It's his work through us to reach others. And then the last thing I want to emphasize in this message this morning is it's a supernatural event when God sends his word out and his spirit enlightens our hearts. And then all of a sudden the light goes on. As the old song says, I saw the light. God does that in our hearts. But you got to have eyes to see the light. That's what he's talking about. These people turned away. But you see, you ask the Lord to help them. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You know, we have received much in our time, in our lives. We have the word of God freely accessible to us. We have many means of learning and studying it and even sharing with others that generations past did not have. And yet the early disciples went everywhere preaching the word. They didn't have the Bible finished yet in their hand, and yet they turned the world upside down. Why? Because the message that God gave us, that God loves us, Christ died for us, he wants to save us and change us. That's a revolutionary message. That's why the devil hates it, because he knows that God can overcome hatred and violence and evil everywhere. He can turn sinners to saints, and that's what we want. Stand together with me as we have our invitation hymn.